Good morning. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the morning show on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network. Advocates are debating the proper way to govern the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Correction Facility amid violence and an ongoing federal investigation. In this week's State Capitol Report, WPR's Glenn Moberg details the latest incidents at Lincoln Hills near Wausau. Then a former union leader explains his concerns for officer safety, and a state lawmaker advocates for closing the youth prison. Later on in the hour, we'll hear from WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief about other things happening under the dome. So what do you think is the right way to handle juvenile offenders? Is lockup the best, or are there other solutions that we should be looking at? And what do you think about what's happening at Lincoln Hills? Do you think it should be closed? If that's the case, then where are we going to put all these people? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. You can post your comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My first guest is Glenn Moberg, WPR's Wausau Bureau reporter, who's been following this story and reporting on it for Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Glenn, and thanks for joining me today.
Well, good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. So give us a recap of what happened last week as violence erupted at Lincoln Hills.
Well, let's actually go back a couple of weeks. There have been two serious incidents during the last couple of weeks. On October 11th, a teacher at Lincoln Hills, Pandora Lobox, was knocked unconscious by an inmate, and she got a nasty black eye and multiple contusions on her face, and she was sent to the hospital. She has since been speaking out about what she considers to be unsafe working conditions there. She asked to meet with Governor Walker, but the governor, through his spokesman, said that the request was turned down because Lobox may file a lawsuit. And then last Sunday, not yesterday, but the Sunday before, there were two separate incidents in which inmates smashed windows and they hurled pieces of plastic chairs at guards. There were five guards injured in those attacks. One of them suffered a serious knee injury, putting her leg in a cast. And according to Doug Curtis, I believe you've got him on the show today?
Yes.
He's a union representative. He said the actions looked premeditated, and he said staff members now are worried that it could be a dry run for something bigger, maybe even a prison riot.
Mm. And this Lincoln Hills now has an interim director. That post was vacant for, what, a month? But there's somebody there now. Couple of months.
Couple of months. John Paquin was appointed interim director by the Department of Corrections Secretary John Litcher until they could find a new permanent director. Paquin is the current head of juvenile corrections for the entire state. Governor Walker pushed for this appointment after the incident on Sunday. He said it needed to happen in order to keep the staff and inmates safe, and that position has been open since Wendy Peterson stepped down back in September. She's currently still working at the prison as the education director. That's a job that she had before she became superintendent.
So what are people saying about the role of the courts and safety at Lincoln Hills? I'm thinking specifically of a judge's decision telling staff to decrease their use of pepper spray, solitary confinement, and shackles.
Yeah, that decision came down back in July. Judge James Peterson ordered the staff to reduce shackles, pepper spray, and solitary confinement. He said the conditions there amounted to cruel and unusual punishment, and he was responding to a suit that was filed by the ACLU and the Juvenile Law Center. Now, about 2 weeks after that order, on August 3rd, there was a fight. Four inmates climbed up to the roof on one of the cottages in the prison and started ripping shingles off the roof and throwing those and rocks and metal pipes at guards, and that threw the facility into a lockdown, which has kind of set the table for what's happened since then. Staff members say that the ruling has made the prison unsafe. The teacher was assaulted, Pandora Lobox, says it's tied the hands of guards and teachers who can no longer discipline the most violent inmates. But the judge, you know, the judge says he had good reason to make that decision. He referred to Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber terrorist who killed three people and injured, I think, a couple dozen more, and is now serving a life term. The judge said the Unabomber has less restrictive confinement than the young people at Lincoln Hills. And Peterson said that especially the long periods of solitary confinement are really harmful to young offenders with mental problems. And he said that has to be reduced to national norms for prisons, which is no more than 5 to 7 days. So then we've got a lot of reaction coming off of that. Last week, a couple of Republican lawmakers who represent the area, that's Senator Tom Tiffany and State Representative Mary Falkowski, said the ACLU was taking the cause of these young felons, and they called on the judge to reverse his decision. The ACLU, you know, the ACLU still says that there are good reasons for keeping that going, and Democrats, meanwhile, are now attacking the governor for the situation there. Tony Evers says there's he's running for governor. He says the governor has been responsible for 3 years of mismanagement, and he criticized Walker for not visiting the youth prison during the time that he's been governor.
And, of course, this is all happening amid an ongoing federal investigation. Remind us about that. Why is there a federal investigation, and how long has this been going on?
Well, this started back in December of 2015, and there were 50 state agents and attorneys who raided that facility. After a Lincoln County judge, it said there was reason to believe that there were a lot of crimes going on there, including sexual assault, physical child abuse, intimidation of victims and witnesses, a case of strangulation, the improper use of pepper spray, and so on. And there was an incident in which a staff member was accused of pushing a teenage resident into a room and then slamming the metal door on his foot, causing a permanent injury to his toes. So that state investigation was later taken over by the federal authorities and the FBI. It's ongoing. There are actually two investigations right now. The FBI is looking into allegations of child neglect and prisoner abuse, while the Department of Justice is looking at possible civil rights violations.
What can you tell us about who's in the population at Lincoln Hills? Who are we talking about here? Where do they come from, and how old are they?
Many of them come from the Milwaukee and Racine areas, and this stems from the decision to consolidate all of the youth prisons in Lincoln Hills, which is in Irma. It's about 30 miles north of Wausau in an isolated rural area. And there are fewer people there than there were before. There were 264 young people housed there before the raid in December of 2015, and now there are a little more than 150. And out of that population, Doug Curtis, who you've got on the show, who I spoke to last week, blames most of the problems on the 17-year-olds who are there. He said if you could get the 17-year-olds out of that institution, it would be a lot safer.
Well, last week's attacks are not the first time Lincoln Hills offenders have taken to violence, and we've talked about that. Let me move on to one other thing here. What do people think about Lincoln Hills School? How do they view its place in the community and for the state of Wisconsin? What's the talk around Wausau, because that's near where this place is located?
Well, I think everybody in the area is concerned. You know, there are people who work there that have relatives and friends in north central Wisconsin, and they're concerned about their safety. And people across the state are concerned. Governor Walker pushed for the immediate appointment of that interim superintendent, John Paquin, because of the safety of the staff. We've got these two lawmakers, Tiffany and Falkowski, urging the judge to reverse his order. The ACLU continues to worry about the perceived abuse of the juvenile offenders there. The judge has called on the ACLU and the state to get back to him on November 10th because he says he's concerned about safety. The Lincoln County Sheriff's Office is even concerned. They said the Department of Corrections didn't notify them in a timely manner when those assaults took place last Sunday. And there are even some people calling for it being closed down. Representative Evan Goyke, who's a Democrat from Milwaukee, thinks the state should turn Lincoln Hills into a prison that offers substance abuse treatment for adults, and the state should find some other means of housing the young offenders who are there.
Well, later in the hour, we're going to hear from State Senator Lena Taylor, who wants something done to move some of those prisoners closer to Milwaukee, since that's where their homes are, would make it easier for their families to visit and offer support. Glenn, we're just about out of time. Can you give me a 30-second take on something we might have missed just now?
I think we pretty much covered it, John. But
right.
I really do think everyone's concerned, and I think, given the fact that there are fewer inmates there and the costs are going up, that fact puts the future of Lincoln Hills in doubt.
All right. Glenn Moberg, thank you so much for joining me this morning and giving us some perspective on the problems at Lincoln Hills. Glenn Moberg is Wisconsin Public Radio's bureau reporter in Wausau and also the host of a weekly talk show, Route 51, every Thursday morning. We'll take a break for news and come back with another guest, and we'll get more on this Lincoln Hills thing. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the morning show on the Ideas Network. Good morning. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent on the morning show. And in our state capitol report this week, we're focusing on what's been happening at the Lincoln Hills facility near Wausau. We heard from Glenn Moberg in our first segment, giving us an overview of what's been going on there and all of the various investigations and lawsuits and so forth, the violence that's occurred there, and what some people are suggesting be done about it. We're going to continue that conversation as we move into this next segment and welcome your calls and questions. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. Of course, you can always post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. In this segment, my guest is Doug Curtis, former Lincoln Hills union leader. He represents staff at the Juvenile Corrections Facility. Doug Curtis, welcome to the morning show.
Glad to be here.
I understand you're concerned that more violence is ahead following the recent incidents at Lincoln Hills. Why do you say this?
It's been a constant thing for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years. So it hasn't stopped yet. I don't expect it to.
Okay. We just heard from Glenn Moberg in the previous segment. I don't know if you were able to listen to that or not, but one of the things he says that he spoke to you, and you think that the 17-year-olds are a particular problem at Lincoln Hills. How so?
Half of the male population up there is 17 years or older. And these, well, to refer to them as children would be wrong. They're not children. Some of them are taller than I am. I'm 6'2". If they're 6'4" and 220 pounds, that's not a child. It's a linebacker. These kids are emboldened by the lenient policies that have been in place since Act 10, and it's just gotten worse with the judge's injunction, the ACLU injunction. These are situations that have been forced upon us by people who are not familiar, totally ignorant of the situation up there.
Okay. You refer to Act 10. What did Act 10 have to do with the violence at Lincoln Hills? Make a connection there.
Act 10 was enacted, 2011? And it undercut the union up there. It actually undercut any input by the employees up there. Management got pretty salty and, okay, we don't have to follow the contract. We don't have any rules to follow. We're going to put in our own policies, and those policies were progressively more and more lenient. Well, leniency to these inmates is an opportunity to exploit. They don't look at it as being nice or kind to them. They look at it as an opportunity to exploit. Since Act 10 has been enacted, and we no longer have any input in the workforce or in the workplace, management has bowed to pressure from outside and gotten more and more lenient, and the violence has increased proportionately.
So what you're saying is that the way the jobs are set up adds risk to correctional officers' work. Are shifts reasonable? Are officers being compensated enough for what they do? And what about the system could be changed to better serve the staff there?
The overtime there is staggering. People will work three, four, sometimes five overtime shifts in a row, five 16-hour shifts back-to-back. By the time you get to your fourth one or fifth one, and some of our people have to drive home for an hour, that gives them 6 hours at home to do whatever they need to do, take care of the kids, let the dog out, make a meal for tomorrow, and get some sleep to get on the road again, drive an hour, and get back to work. And then they have to do it again the next day, and the next day. These people aren't safe on the roads. We've been lucky so far, but.
So what you're saying is that we need to have more. We need to have more staff there.
Oh, we got to have more bodies. The governor has allocated funds for 8 more youth counselors. We need 35. Now that's just youth counselors, not counting social workers, teachers, psychological staff, and all the other support staff that make the institution run.
Mm-hmm.
We're desperately shorthanded. And with all the violence up there, nobody wants the job, particularly if you're going to be working that many hours. Plus, it'd be nice if we had a raise. Scott Walker gave us a 1% raise and took most of that for additional retirement and medical payments. I believe there was another 1% raise in there somewhere. And much of that was taken for additional medical payments. So if it doesn't go in your pocket, it's not a raise.
Hmm.
Plus, that's it. Since the 2008-2010 contract.
What about training for prison workers? Are they trained properly? And what skills could we instill in officers to allow them to protect themselves more effectively and take better care of the inmates at Lincoln Hills?
The training is very good. They go through the academy these days. I didn't have to years ago, but they were at full capacity and they needed bodies and they had the money to hire them. Now people go through the academy and the need is so desperate that as soon as they're done with their on-the-job training, boom, they're put in the fire. They're running a cottage, sometimes alone. Due to the staffing restrictions, they collapse a position. Instead of two counselors in a cottage, there'll be one. Some of these people coming straight out of the academy are now running the entire cottage of 30 kids by themselves. It's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. You advocate for the workers, of course, and you refer to the people who are housed at Lincoln Hills as inmates, not kids. Can they be both?
It's difficult to look at these inmates as children. They're not children. They're young men and women. If you hear someone refer to them as children, it's a dead giveaway that they don't know what they're talking about. The guy that hit Pandora was a foot taller than her. Granted, she's a small individual, but it's not uncommon for these kids to be substantially larger than the people that are guarding them. The 17-year-olds present a particular problem. They know there's no real discipline there. There's no consequences for behavior, so there is no deterrent to bad behavior. Bad behavior being assaulting staff, spitting, throwing fluids on them, urine, feces, other bodily fluids. If there's no deterrent, why shouldn't they take a swing at staff?
So I wanted to wrap up this segment. We have to let you go and move on, but what would be the number one thing that needs to change at Lincoln Hills to begin to fix these problems?
Well, there's actually three things. One, money. If you don't pony up the money, you're not going to get change. If you're not going to get change, then someone's going to be hurt badly or killed. That's the direction we're heading. Two, you need bodies. We don't have enough people to staff the institution. We were very short of people. And third, you need consequences for these kids. They need to be held accountable. And we need a district attorney to prosecute the crimes they commit. They commit crimes up there. They do not misbehave. They're breaking the law. They're assaulting people.
All right. Doug Curtis, we need to move along, but thank you for joining us on the morning show this morning. Doug Curtis, former Lincoln Hills Union leader. He represents staff at the Juvenile Corrections Facility. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. We're talking about Lincoln Hills. Our next guest is State Senator Lena Taylor, a member of from the 4th Senate District of Wisconsin. She's a Democrat from Milwaukee. Senator Taylor, welcome back to the morning show.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
Briefly explain, you've made a legislative proposal connected to the Lincoln Hills issue. Briefly explain to our listeners what your legislation would do.
Well, the first piece of legislation I did asked for the governor to take advantage to take care of their own youth, because a large percentage of sin are not violent youth and would meet the requirement to be able to be done dealt with locally. But we do not have the authority to take care of our own youth. We have to allow other communities to make money off of our youth, to be able to be employed off of the backs of our youth who have done things wrong. All of them are not violent. And those that are there and are under the traumatized experience that they are under, they're all being put in a position to be traumatized and unsafe, and an unsafe environment also for people to work in. So one was to say give Milwaukee their authority to keep their youth. The second thing that I asked and I did legislation on was to require the Justice Center to come to Wisconsin with the Council of State Government and to give us their expertise, so that we could be adequately informed about what best practices are, that we could adequately address those recommendations like training or thing or whatever other things are needed by using the Justice Center. And they would do it and provide technical assistance without a dime from our state. We would get all of this expertise, and they would seek money on our behalf. And the third thing that I've done now is to say, close it. Close Lincoln Hills. Use a regional approach and close Lincoln Hills. Because if I can't get us to address the problems, move forward in a way that says that we're trying to use best practices, you know, obey the court's order, if we can't do any of those things, we need to close it. Because we're creating more trauma for youth, and we are very candidly putting both the correctional officers and the juveniles in danger. Someone's going to end up dying at the rate that we're going.
Senator Taylor, I don't know if you heard our previous guest, Doug Curtis, who represents some of the staff at Lincoln Hills. He says that inmates at the prison, one of the problems is that inmates at the prison see leniency as an opportunity to exploit. What's your response to that?
I find Doug's perspective to be one from a union perspective, and I respect that. We want to see everybody who goes to work come home. But the issue in Doug's comment is a reflection that we do need the Justice Center to come so that the expertise of what we should do different can help to be implemented and become more informed about what options exist. Mm-hmm. I do agree, you know, a bad situation gets worse if something isn't done. And I know the governor tries to give a false sense of taking care of the problem based on what he did in the budget. He tells people, we did more staff and we did this. We still don't meet the requirements, the PREA requirements about reducing rape. Eliminating rape and the mental health standards that are required. These are kids. Everything that they did, they're still juvenile. until you're 18, you're a juvenile. And no matter what they did, they're still young people, and they deserve to be treated humanely. And inhumane treatment is what the judge identified. And overuse of pepper spray, of gassing, these has been historically what we have heard, screams that our correctional officers need help and what to do.
Yeah, and one last thing.
I went up there and I spoke to people and I saw exactly what they were doing about trauma-informed care. Not understanding it at all, not implementing it at all. That's part of the problem. They are not adequately trained on best practices that can be done to prevent things from going in the direction they are, and they need staff.
Mm-hmm. How would if these juvenile offenders are kept closer to home, and if Milwaukee gets to keep its own youth, where are they going to put them, and how would that be paid for?
So there are multiple options of what could be used. Everything from converting facilities that presently exist to even if they use facilities in the regional area like Racine that already has space. So there are options of what can be done. The other thing is if we did something more like the Grow Academy regionally, also it would provide options. So and the state, when even in Racine or other places, I would argue still has a some financial responsibility of what can be paid. And the state put an extra GPR because people are not sending their youth to Lincoln Hills. Matter of fact, the judges from Racine knew that long before we did, sent a letter to the governor, and the governor failed to be responsive. This governor has failed to be responsive to a very critical issue like what is happening at Lincoln Hills, the safety of correctional officers and juveniles, and he needs to be held accountable. He hasn't been there. He hasn't visited. He won't meet with the correctional officers to be able to speak about what's going on. It's completely unacceptable. So if you can put in extra GPR to reduce the daily rate for juveniles, which is way over $100,000 per juvenile, like 120 or more, you know, if you consider the GPR that's put in, I don't know what the amount would be. So point being is that we're already paying. Mm-hmm. And I don't want us to pay with people's lives. And I don't want us to pay with continued trauma that the youth have. And I don't want us to pay with perspectives by correctional officers or my colleagues that believe, oh, well, you know, these kids, you know, have committed a crime, and so it makes it okay that we can treat them and do how we want any kind of way. No, if we want our investment in these juveniles who have done wrong in their community, all of which have not created violent offenses, as a matter of fact, 60% of the juveniles that were there were Milwaukee, and 60% of the ones from Milwaukee were ones that did not meet the violent offense requirement based on the assessments that were done when this whole mess started more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want us to have the best practices so we can know that there are other ways.
Okay.
If you don't know, you can't do better.
Yep. Senator Taylor, we have to go. We've got a newscast coming up in just a moment. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lena Taylor is a state senator from the 4th State Senate District. She's a Democrat from Milwaukee. Coming up next, we'll have Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter, Sean Johnson. And so stick around with that. More to come on our state capitol report of the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent today.